This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, لقد أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قوم ذو شيم وإخلاق. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to people who have manners and great quality of manners, actually, as well as bad manners and a lot of bad practices. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that, and he brought to them the religion which is meant to perfect their manners, their culture, their way of conduct with people, because the manners of any, or the strength of any society, it starts with the integrity and the moral of each and every home in that society. Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have changed those people with the message that he came with. But unfortunately, what we see today in our society, in our community, in our life, that we, the people of Islam, the people of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have also changed in so many areas, and one of it is the area of mannerism. You know, there are so many things money can't buy, and one of them is manners, morality, integrity. These things cannot be purchased. It is something that you should be raised upon, believing in it. And manners is really what identify the person. You know, I like what had been said. A good manner is better than a good looking. A good mannered person is better than a good looking person. And, you know, you might find even people who are very well educated, but not very well mannered. Mannerism has not to do with your title, with your profession. It has to do with your character. And that's something in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam care a lot about. And I think it is essential, and it is so important for us as a community, as a family, as a society at large, that character matters. Manners matter. It's not something that, you know, is not of that important. And everybody should think about that from an early age, that my character matter, my manners matter. Al-Arab, before Islam, they used to be proud of their manners. They have certain qualities and the certain character traits that they were so proud of. And in Islam came to them, فَأَضَافَ عَظَمَةً عَلَىٰ عَظَمَةً. He made them such great people. He invested in these great qualities that they had. They used to be known, for example, of bravery. They used to be known very hospitable people, known to be very generous. They known to be never bend their back to a dictator or never accept to be humiliated. They are people who understand what shameful act means, and they will never accept shame. That's why when this woman Hind, she said, Ya Rasulallah, أَحُرَّةٌ تَزْنِي. It's unimaginable for her that a free woman will commit adultery. This is something she can't even think that it is possible. You know, and they truly believe in that. And that's what we call integrity. You know, but there's many examples I wish to share with you about to show you what kind of people that they were. Those who we call them Jahiliyyah. For instance, you know, in north of Arabia never had a king. The Arabian Peninsula never known what this king means. You know, didn't accept the kingship concept. They're very free men. They don't feel that they can be ruled under a monarchy system. This is something that they didn't accept. That's why you will find kings in Yemen, kings in north of Arabia, but you will never find kings among them. And it was a unique thing that Medina people were thinking about appointing a king among them. It was something very historical. In the north of Arabia, there were a famous, you know, king of Al-Hira, and he was very well-known king, Amr ibn Hind. كان يسمونه مضرط الحجارة لعظم بطشه وقوته وصلاته. He has an army that it will wipe out any tribes, any cities, very aggressive person. When he was very proud of his lineage, one day he was sitting with his friends and he said to them, you know, قال أتظنون أن أحدا من العرب يأنف من خدمتي أو خدمة أمي. After this great power that I possess, do you think that any Arab person will dare to say no to me? Will ever feel, you know, or challenge me? Or will not serve my mother? Not only serving me or my mother? Then they said, yeah, we know somebody. He would never bend his back in front of you. They said, who will be that person? They said, Amr ibn Kulthum al-Su'luk. Amr ibn Kulthum is a very famous tribe, you know, in Arabia, a very well-known tribe as well. Anyway, so he called him and he called his mother. And he told his mother, if you guys eat and you finish your food, make sure that you let all your servants leave. Then after everybody left, the mother of that king told the mother of that young Arabian man. She said to her, pass this plate to me. Now wilini hada sahan. She didn't answer her. Then she repeated three times. And after three times, in the fourth time, she said, صَاحِبَةُ الشَّيْءِ تَأْتِي بِهِ. If you need something, you go get it yourself. Or you call one of your servants. So when she said that, she felt a humiliation. Then she said a very famous call. She said, "Wa تَغْلُبْ." She's from the tribe of Taghlub, her and her son. Taghlub, by the way, is a tribe. It matches its name. What's Taghlub means? Min al-ghalaba. Taghlub, ghalabat al-araba kullahum. Taghlub is a tribe that, you know, ruled Arabia. No other tribe challenged them. Anyway, so when she said that, her son felt, he knew that there is something wrong about this. He took the sword, he put it in the king's neck, surrounded by his friends, and he marked the king in his face. And he left. He said, you don't ever dare to humiliate me or my mother again. And he said a very famous poetry later on that it became so powerful, people even hanged it inside the Kaaba out of honoring this. وَإِذَا مَا الْمُلْكُ سَعْمَ النَّاسَ خَصْفًا أَبَيْنَا أَن نُقِرَّ الذُّلَّ فِينَا لَنَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَنْ أَمْسَى عَلَيْهَا وَنَبْطِشُ حِينَ نَبْطِشُ قَادِرِينَ بُغَاةً ظَالِمِينَ وَمَا ظَلَمْنَا وَلَكِنْ سَنَبْدَأُ الظَّالِمِينَ. يعني إلى آخر ما قال. All these poetries praises himself and his tribes and so forth. You know, when you see that level of dignity, self-respect, you know, never accept to be humiliated, strength. Imru' al-Qais, another famous Arab poet, very well known in history, when he decided to revenge the death of his father, but he doesn't have supporter, he decided to go to north of Arabia to call to the king of the Romans, ask him for help. And he put his wealth and his money and everything he owns with someone, يقال له الصموأل. And he said, this is my money, keep it with you. And he's rich man. Anyway, when he left, the people knew about that. So they went to Samuel to take his money and to use his money to hire more men to fight Imru' al-Qais in case he comes with an army. Samuel said, no, he trusted thee with the money. I will never give it to you. They surrounded him in his house for days. And he said, I'm not going to give you his money. He trust, I would never betray someone who trusted me. حتى حملوا ابنه على السور فنحروه من أجل أن يعطيهم المال ولم يرضى أن يعطيهم المال. Even they took his son as a hostage. Even they killed his family member and his son. And he knew that these people are just thugs. He said, I would never betray my friend. Those people are amazing when it comes to how truthful they were. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Jabir radiallahu anhu said, he once was in a journey, Kamarao al-Bukhari wa Muslim, Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his way back, he saw this area with a lot of trees, then he said, let's take a nap. While Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that, the Sahaba came and they found him, and next to him an A'rabi, a stranger. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, who's this stranger? He said, this man, when I was sleeping, he woke me up, putting the edge of his sword on my throat. جعل حد السيف على رقع على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, Ya Muhammad, wake up. Then when I wake up, and he said, Ya Muhammad, who will save you from me? The Prophet said, Allah. And the man starts shaking, the lion shaking, starts shaking from underneath of him, and the sword fall from his hand. The Prophet picked the sword and he said, and now who will save you from me? Who will save you from me? Then he said, no one. But it is basically if you, an honorable man, willing to forgive me, that's your call. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, can you imagine now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam putting the sword on his neck, on that man's neck. He pointing the sword to him. And he said, أَتَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Would you be a Muslim? What do you think the answer was? He said, no. He would never say something he doesn't believe in. That's a level of dignity. Even though he facing that, he said, no, I will not say it. I will not say that. I don't believe in your religion. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I can promise you one thing, Ya Muhammad, I will never do that again, and I will never fight you again. I will never carry a sword against you again, or any one of your friends. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go. He let him go. You know, Al-Arab, those people who we call Jahiliyyah and before Islam that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent to them, aren't, you know, these kind of character traits, it is something make you wonder what Islam really have done to those people. How it added to all this. Obviously not everyone, but these stories here and there, there's so many of them. Abu Sufyan, when the king of the Roman in Syria at that time, appointed by the Romans as the ruler of the whole Syrian region, and that include every known country today in that region, like Palestine, Lebanon, or all this area, Jordan. You know, the king in that area saw in the dream, and the Malika Makhtulan Yahtinu Yamlikuhum. He saw in his dream that the king who circumcised will rule that north or that part of the world. And the people around, don't worry about your dream. Jews never have an army. Jews are the one who circumcised. Then he was still later, the Arabs also, they basically practiced that. So he started thinking, who among the Arab can be a threat to me? Then when he heard that Abu Sufyan coming in a caravan, Hiraql invited him and he said, come visit me. And he told his friend, if he lies and said something not true, let me know. He asked him about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Listen to what Abu Sufyan said when he was not a Muslim. He said, wa aymullah, lawla an yu'thiru alayya al-kadhib lakadhabt. I was worried that to be documented against me that I lied in my life. Otherwise, I would have lied and said bad things about Muhammad, but I couldn't. I only said the truth, that he's a great man. And all the questions that he asked him, he just gave him. You know, so the question that I want you to think about today, what Islam have added to those people? Because in contrast, we in our culture have a lot of good qualities. We can point at a lot of great qualities we have. We're raised to be respectful. We respect every job. We don't look down at people based on professions. We learn not to be racist, be courteous, be kind. That's right. We have a lot of good things that we as a culture here, culturally, we are familiar with. So what Islam really have changed in when it comes to this area? And what it is missing in our character traits today, in my opinion, that Islam have connected them with the Akhirah, have made this character traits, this conduct, this behavior, this good manners, an act of worship that they do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't do that anymore, so they will be mentioned in poetry, or their name will be known, or they will be giving the leadership of the tribes, or they will be recognized, or they will be paid, or they will gain any worldly reward. No. They didn't do that because they are aware only of being shamed and bring shame to their family. Al-Islam made them do this for Allah. Made them do these things seeking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he started his da'wah, not many supporter. As a matter of fact, a lot of enemies, and among the enemies, the closest to him, Abu Lahab used to bring his thobe like this, and he will fill it with small stones, and he will walk behind Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and threw it through these stones on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Kadhab, hadha yakdhib, he's lying." So much, you know, going on in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time at that time. لا تصدقوه إنه كذاب. This is his uncle. What do you think of that father? People, how they treated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, Innabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, you think psychologically, what you need to do to tell your follower to be patient, to promise them what? Reward, and to promise this, and to promise them that. No. تجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما رب الصحابة أبدا على عطاء دنيوي. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم never raised a generation that waiting for a worldly reward. He didn't tell them, you know what, just be patient and we will get money and we will be rich and we will rule Arabia. He never said that صلى الله عليه وسلم to them. You know what he used to tell them? He said, صبراً على ياسر فإن موعدكم الجنة. He said, be patient, Ali Yasir, Al-Jannah is where we're going to meet. كان يربي هذه القلوب على أن تتعلق بالآخرة. He used to raise these hearts to be attached to the Akhirah. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم have made them and made all their behavior is connected to the concept of I'm doing this for Allah. Doesn't matter what else. Whatever else can come, I'm fine. It's amazing how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam companions, among them died, وَمَا هَدَ بَمِنَ الدُّنْيَا شَيْئًا, never had anything from this dunya. And some of them had a lot of wealth, and he gave it up all. Because their hearts became completely attached to the Akhirah. That's why their conduct was absolutely different. You know, when you look at our life today, long stand. When we think about the dunya, When we dream about the dunya. Our worries all about the dunya. What makes us so happy is the dunya. What makes us so sad is the dunya. What makes us so careful is the dunya. What we dream about in our dreams is the dunya when we go to sleep. The thing that we talk about the most, the dunya. The priorities is the dunya. Even when we conduct, when we talk with people. إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ ذِئْبًا أَكَلَتْكَ الذِّئَابُ تَعَشَّيْتُ وَتَغَدَّ بِزَيْدٍ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَتَعَشَّى بِكَ مَدْرِ إِيش. It's just amazing how it's all that we talk about is about how can I get more, how can I gain more, how. That's how we deal, that's how we raise our children, that's how we talk. You know? It has become, we became so weak from inside, spiritually, in our way, in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever we think about the deen, sometimes even some of us will use the deen for the dunya. We'll ride his deen to gain the dunya, to gain from the dunya. Or the deen comes only when it goes with my desire. حِنَمَا يُوَافِقُ الدِّينُ الْهَوَىٰ. If it is religious things and, you know, I'm okay with it, I like it. Yeah, I like it. But if you really dig deep, it's not about, it is because Allah said that, it is because I really like that. In some cases. And you know, and if it goes against what I want or what I desire, what I think is good, فَالتَّأْوِيلْ بَابٌ وَاسِعٌ وَالْمَسْأَلَ فِيهَا قَوْلَانٌ. And all these excuses can come and cut corners. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of al-Ahzab. And this is an amazing thing to reflect upon. In Munafiqeen, they say he cannot feel safe to go to the bathroom. Him and his friends. Yet the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, I see the wealth of Kisra, the land of Kisra falling in your hands. I see the wealth, the Roman Empire falling apart in your hands. إني أرى اليمن تفتح. And in the third head to the rock, he said, I see the Yemen, one of the richest country in that time, will be under your command. You know, when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, none of the Sahaba said, when this is going to happen, Ya Rasulullah? When? Are we going to be among the people who gain that money? Are we going to witness that? They believe it is the truth, and if it comes, alhamdulillah, we witness it. If it doesn't, we don't care. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never said to Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, by the way, you are the Khalifa after me. Or Ya Umar, you are the Khalifa after me. You know what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Abu Bakr and to Umar and to Uthman? Qala Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah. He didn't tell his friend and his companion, by the way, there is a lot of reward coming. There is a lot of, you know, financial reward coming. There is a lot of position you're going to have. You're going to be leaders. No. He said, "Is إِنَّمَا وَعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. My appointment with you after I die, that we will meet again in Jannah. That's a Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When those people, when they became Muslim, the dunya became for them a means, not a goal. And that's why their attitude, their character traits, the way they deal with people and the way they deal and they carry themselves in this dunya became a completely different story. Completely, the way they look at the dunya became different. When Umar radiallahu anhu, he looked at one of his farms in Khaybar and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this land and this farm is just an amazing, produce a lot of money for me and I want to give it up. I want to give it to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Ish al-Nabi ashar alayh?" قال أشير عليك أن تجعلها وقفة. I advise you to make it an endowment. Don't just give it to the poor. No, make it an endowment. That was the process of recommendation, and he did it sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an endowment. And Abu Talha. Same thing. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I read this verse. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Ya Rasulullah, this land is the most beloved money to me. I'm going to give it, you know, for basically, for Allah and Azza wa Jal. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, my advice is the same, to do it and endowment. قَالَ وَأَرَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَهَا فِي أَهْلِكَ وَقَرَابَتِكَ. يعني take that money, what comes out of it, to support your family member. You know, الصحابة رضي الله عنهم learned أن الإسلام عطاء لا أخذ. الإسلام taught them that, the Prophet taught them that Islam is that you give Islam, is not to take from Islam. Today, إلا من رحم ربي. We are all waiting for what Islam will bring to us. What kind of financial reward, what kind of worldly materials we're going to get from it. There, them, they never waited for anything in this dunya. As a matter of fact, their commitment was something amazing. And that's a key point when it comes to conduct, when it comes to way we deal with each other, we deal with this dunya. Make sure that your heart is attached to the akhirah. Make sure that you do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala اجعلنا قلونا وإياكم ممن معلقة بالله وبالآخرة. أقول ما سمعتم وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. They say people in this life either carry or being carried. There is people who carry this religion, carry the trust that Allah have given to us, carry the Islam, carry the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is to spread tawheed and to spread goodness among us. And there is people who need to be carried, waiting for, you know, to be carried, to be benefited from the deen in this dunya and in the worldly reward manners. Ashabun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they basically, they controlled the dunya, the wealth, the money, the power, what's in their hand, and they left it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar, and who's Umar, became the king of his time. He's the Khalifa radiallahu anhu. But can you imagine the wealth, the amount of power that he had, conquered the two great civilizations at that time, the Romans and the Persian Empire. Still, Umar radiallahu anhu, bithiyabihi al-muraqqa'ah wa ta'amihi الذي الخشن البسيط, still with his, you know, old type of clothes and simple food and simple home, they left this dunya, they don't carry much of it, because everything that their eyes always on the prize, which is the Jannah. I think we need to connect our hearts more and more of the Akhirah, more than the dunya. And, you know, that's why those people, dunya never meant much to them. When Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and Nabi told him, you lead the army, and Amr ibn al-As told them, no, you are coming to assist me. I'm the leader of the army. And Nabi Sam sent you as a support to me. So you became under my control, under my leader. He said, okay, no problem. You know, when Khalid ibn al-Walid, Umar radiallahu anhu, told him, you cannot be the emir anymore of the army in Syria, he took Umar's letter. He's fired technically by this letter. He take it and he put it in his head and he said, سمعا وطاعة لأمير المؤمنين. I listen and obey. No problem, I will be just a soldier. Why? Because the dunya is not the goal. رضي الله عنهم وأرضا. And that's why I do believe manners matter. The manners of living, the way you live your life. And I really hope that the message of today, in the simple words, that the message of today, that we need to attach our heart more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we do, what we leave, anything that we do in this life, it should be something that we seek the pleasure of Allah, seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My act of worship, my, you know, all the things that I make to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my life and my death all belong to Allah, to please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. With a lot of bit of effort and a lot of commitment and a lot of focus on the akhirah, this life will come to you one way or another. But you guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have for you the place that you deserve in the akhirah, which is, I ask Allah that each and every one of us will be gathered in Jannatul Na'im, will be forgiven from our sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. And we need to work in our heart as much as we can before Ramadan starts. So when Ramadan comes, it will find a heart that it is ready to flourish, to grow, to, you know, to be filled with iman and Quran and taqwa and Islam. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم اغفر لوالدينا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا وقرابتنا وذوي أرحامنا ومن له حق وفضل علينا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الخير والحق وألف بينهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ودرء نار الفتنة والحرب عنهم وعن جميع بلاد المسلمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ارفع عنا الوباء والغلاء يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا نسألك أن تؤمننا في ديارنا وفي أوطاننا وفي أموالنا وأن تبارك لنا في كل ما أعطيتنا يا حي يا قيوم أصلح ذرياتنا أصلح ذرياتنا اللهم اختم بالصالحات أعمالنا وثقل ميزاننا ويمن كتابنا ويسر حسابنا اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا اللهم اجعلها في أيدينا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا نسألك يا حي يا قيوم حبك وحب من يحبك وحب العمل الذي يقربنا إليك زين إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وقلوب أولادنا وأزواجنا وأهلينا اللهم زينه في قلوبنا وقلوبهم وكره إلينا وإليهم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا وإياهم من الراشدين وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله ومتعنا اللهم بالعافية متعنا اللهم بالعافية وبلغنا رمضان بلغنا رمضان بلغنا رمضان وأعنا فيه على الصيام والقيام وتقبله منا يا حي يا قيوم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وأكثر من الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله في هذا اليوم المبارك فإنه من صلى عليه صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.